listening to the Survival in Motion podcast. Learn, adapt, prepare, survive.
Hello, everyone. This is author Cal Wilson, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Survival in Motion podcast. On today's episode, what I'm going to do is play a recording of a sermon I gave a few months ago, right before last July 4th at the local nursing home. And of course, the theme is July 4th. And you might be wondering, why is he playing this right before Memorial Day? And in fact, wasn't Armed Forces Day just a few days ago? Yes, you're right. Yes. I'm going to go ahead and just arbitrarily unite all of those holidays just for this one podcast. So even though this is probably the most appropriate for Armed Forces Day, it's kind of a similar theme. So just go with the flow. This sermon I gave is from last July 2nd. The audio quality is not that good, but it's not that bad either. It's not so bad so that it's distracting or anything. I think you can get a pretty clear picture of what I'm talking about in this sermon. The crowd there is a little rambunctious, and they're also in a pretty good mood. They're pretty talkative. I asked for an amen, and they all said amen. At different times, they spoke out, and somebody clapped at one point. So it's not always like this at that nursing home, but last July 2nd, they were in a pretty good mood. The substance of this sermon, I think it's fair to say it's just non-denominational Christian. Or if you attend a church at a Southern Baptist church, I think what you're about to hear in this nursing home sermon is pretty much what you're used to hearing at church if you go to a Southern Baptist church. And like I said, the theme is July 4th, and I'm going to post this on Memorial Day, and a few days ago was Armed Forces Day. Anyway, this is a prepper issue, meaning what will happen to you when you die. Preppers anticipate disasters that are ahead of them and their family. And in the case of 100% of us, we're all going to die. So the question is, what are you doing to prepare yourself and your family for that certainty? And I think there's a whole lot more to Christianity than just going to heaven. There's a lot I find very valuable on just a day-to-day basis, and I'm very happy to be a Christian. But going to heaven, I think, it's a very important thing. It's a very important issue, and I think it's something I'm surprised more people don't do. I'm surprised more prepper podcasts don't talk about it. In fact, I'm even surprised, so long as I'm surprised by everything else, I'm surprised that I don't post more of these sermons on the Survival in Motion podcast. So I think Christianity and spiritual belief, I think that is a prepper issue. So I think it is deserving to be on a prepper podcast. So that's why I'm posting this. The last time I did post a sermon that I gave at the nursing home was last October. And I think the theme, as I recall, the theme had to do with the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther. The theme, like I said here, is July 4th. Anyway, there's one, I think, pretty good segue story I want to say before I cut you off and have you listen to that sermon. I've always been the type who would approach a man or woman in uniform and thank them for their service. And in the last 3 or 4 years, I've also done that for policemen, firemen, and emergency medical people. In other words, first responders. There's another crowd I thank for their service. And let me tell you how I arrived at that decision by this story. I think I told you several times I'm an attorney. And a few years ago, in fact, I think it was 2006, it was during the Iraq War, specifically the Battle of Fallujah, and whatever year that was, I think it was the mid-2000s. Anyway, we had a client who was in the Marines, and he was involved in the Battle of Fallujah. And I remember that because I don't think it's the normal thing that Marines do. I think this was kind of a landlocked area. But the Marines were right in the middle of that Battle of Fallujah, and our client was one of those Marines. Anyway, he was on leave and he came back to the U.S. and, well, maybe he's under a lot of stress. I don't know. But he did some stupid things and got into trouble and got arrested. And then his family hired our law firm. And so then he went right back and he rejoined the Battle of Fallujah. And his father was my contact to give updates and let him know how things were going, that kind of thing. It was a criminal case. Not a huge thing. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it was actually pretty trivial, but it involved a lot of alcohol and some fighting. But so it was a lower level criminal case. Now, I got proof that my client was in the Marines and that he was involved in the Battle of Fallujah. And we managed to position this case in front of the judge in that courthouse who, you know, some people you have to ask, hey, were you in the armed forces? If so, what branch? Not so with this judge. With this judge, you knew exactly he was in the Marines. His whole office was filled with photos and Marine memorabilia. And as predicted, when I talked to him about our client and what he was doing and the fact that he was in the Marines and right in the middle of the Battle of Fallujah, as we spoke, we got just one of the greatest deals I think I've ever gotten for any client. And I remember I was feeling so good. I needed to get some paperwork signed by my client, and that was going to take a long time. But on the drive home from court, I called up my client's father. And I guess back then, he didn't have caller ID or whatever, but I remember specifically, I called that number and it was not even a full ring. It was half a ring. And I hear this, hello? You know, just really scared and nervous on the part of that father. And that's when it occurred to me that here I am wanting to call and kind of have a victory lap on what great news we got for this case. And instead, by calling the father, I think the father was worried that he would get a call from the Defense Department and that it would be bad news, because the Battle of Fallujah was all in the news when this was going on. Our client did not wind up dying, so he made it through that Battle of Fallujah, but I'll never forget that not even a full ring, a half ring, and the father answered, and what I heard was stress and dread in his voice. So ever since then, not only do I approach men and women in uniform and thank them for their service, but I also, when I find out that there's a family of somebody who's actually in a war zone or on the front lines or stationed overseas where they can get shot, but I mean, a situation where they're on the front lines and it's expected that they'll be, you know, in harm's way, I go to that family and I say, thank you guys for your service as well. And I think that's something that everybody should do. It's not just the men and women in uniform, but it's also those family members who are behind them on pins and needles, hoping that they don't get that call or that visit from the Defense Department giving them bad news. So I think they deserve thanks for their service as well. Anyway, I've gone a little bit too long in this intro. So without any more blah, blah, blah for me, here's the tape recording I gave to the local nursing home last July 2nd. Enjoy. All right. In a couple days, we will celebrate our country's Independence Day, which is July 4th. This is among my favorite holidays because of the barbecues. Yeah. Steaks, hot dogs, hamburgers, desserts.
Yeah.
Basically food. And fruit salad, not only the salad, but that juice that accumulates at the bottom of the bowl.
Oh, ambrosia.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. And potato salad.
Yes.
Now, when you get the hamburgers, you have to buy the hamburgers from the meat section, not the frozen food section.
Right.
So they mix in the sirloin just right. Forgetting something else. Summer blockbuster movies always come out right around this time of the year. Mm. Oh, yeah, and the fireworks.
Yeah, start tonight at 9 o'clock on Channel 4.
Oh, that's good to know.
Really?
Huh. Oh, and the corn on the cob.
I'm making myself hungry, but I have to report a tragedy in our family, though. And we had grandkids spending the week, and I thought, well, here comes July 4th. Let me go to Costco and buy some filet mignons. So we bought them and started marinating them. We ran out of time. The grandkids went home. So there's nobody left to eat them.
Oh, dear.
Except for my wife and me. We're going to eat steaks that we got for five people.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Somebody hand me a Kleenex, please.
Yeah.
Omar, the tent maker, will be making your pants.
This is a real tragedy. It's filet mignon, actually.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Want for ribeye steak.
Okay, let me move on before I get even hungrier. First, let us have some context here. Those of us who follow Jesus Christ are already free from sin. This is the greatest freedom of all. And he paused, waiting for an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Christians like me will go to heaven for an eternity, no thanks to anything I have done, but thanks entirely to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross.
Yes.
And I say amen to that myself.
Amen.
All right, this is not to say that I don't love the United States of America. I do. I appreciate all of our freedoms and high standard of living. I want our country to continue as a Christian country, and I believe God does too.
Yes.
The United States seems to be at a crossroads, a fork in the road. Excuse the ongoing reference to food there. But the crossroads is best exemplified by two Bible verses. The 33rd Psalm reads, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And another verse from the Bible, Joshua 24. You might recall, Joshua at one point said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." After Joshua said that, he warned the people of Israel after they had come into the Promised Land. This was their new country. He warned them, God is a holy God. God is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then God will turn on you and do harm to you and consume you. That was the warning Joshua gave the new nation of Israel.
Where did they settle?
In the Promised Land of Israel, right around Jerusalem.
Really?
All of Israel.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, all of Israel. After Joshua said these words, here's the key. Israel did stray from God, and that was reported in the Bible. Israel fell into immorality and at times engaged in child sacrifice and worshipped idols. Israel was conquered and enslaved and then reestablished as a free country over 30 times. The last reestablishment of the nation of Israel happened in 1948. All right, so that's our example as far as nations that follow God and take seriously his admonitions to us. So the question is, will we as Americans continue to fear and worship God? Will we as Americans follow his laws and give him thanks for the many blessings God has given to our country? Or will we fall away as Israel did so many times throughout its history? The United States of America was off to a great start. While we were not founded as a theocracy, in other words, we have elected representatives speak for us in Washington, D.C. We don't have pastors. So we're not a theocracy. We're a republic. The United States was founded as a Christian nation. The Declaration of Independence, which is one of our main founding documents, referred to God-given rights. It declared our independence from England, but then concluded with a following prayer of protection. Quote, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." So that was a prayer that was incorporated in the Declaration of Independence. Founding fathers were all Christians, and they knew that God gave us this country. There are other quotes out there, but I found a couple I'd like to highlight. Patrick Henry said, It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was Patrick Henry.
Yay!
There are others out there. Yeah, Samuel Adams. First, Samuel Adams says, first of all, I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for the pardons of all my sins. Later during the Civil War, following the Battle of Gettysburg, President Lincoln called for a National Day of Thanksgiving and Prayer on the fourth Thursday of each November. And this is a tradition carried forward to this day. For almost 200 years, the U.S. was a safe and extremely prosperous country. It was a devoutly Christian country. Americans were in constant prayer for God's blessings, and we routinely gave thanks for all of God's bounty given to us. And remember, we've talked before about the biblical account of the 10 lepers, where this was not a parable. This was a report in the book of Luke that really happened. There were 10 lepers walking along, and they asked God to cure them of their leprosy. Jesus did, and 9 of the 10 left to resume their lives as non-lepers. One of them came back and said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for curing me." And that part of the Bible was included there for a reason, that God likes us to thank Him when He grants our prayers. As a country, we used to do that. There's some storm clouds on the horizon. In the early 1960s, prayer was outlawed in public schools. Every now and then, you can read news of teachers and coaches in public schools being fired for openly praying. When we hand out Bibles at public schools, they're very strict. We have to stay off of the school grounds because we're handing out Bibles. All right, I'm talking about more storm clouds on the horizon. In 1973, the killing of unborn babies, was known as abortion, was legalized. Unborn babies scream in pain as they are aborted. There was a film that discussed this called Silent Scream. Since 1973, you'd be amazed at how many abortions have occurred in the United States. 60 million abortions. Still to this day, some of our tax dollars go to pay for abortions. So if you pay taxes, your money is going to pay for abortions. And yes, and I remember about a year ago, you guys were very patient as I ranted about my tax bill. April 2016. So you know how I hate paying taxes. But it makes it even worse, in all seriousness, that to know that my tax dollars go to, in part, to pay for abortions. All right, further storm clouds on the horizon. Any display of the Ten Commandments in public schools, town squares, or courthouses have been outlawed. Public schools routinely teach evolution instead of creationism. Here's a pet peeve of mine. When we as Americans recognize our many blessings and our high standard of living, so many times it's said that we must have done something to the rest of the world to become so wealthy. In other words, we must have stolen that wealth. So therefore, we as a country have done something wrong. I say it's a pet peeve of mine. The rest of the world could be screwed up. And that's fine. That's their business. We have our act together. We are a Christian country. And we have so many liberties, and we have such a high standard of living. And we have, yes, and we need to give thanks to God for that. We don't need to say we must have done something wrong, because we didn't do anything wrong. Anyway, that's a pet peeve among them. On the other hand, according to a recent Pew Research poll, around 71% of Americans still say they are Christian. It's down from 90% when I was a kid, but it's 70% now. So that's not bad. Now, that might also include a lot of people who just think, that's my team, you know, the Christian team. They might not be serious. But here's another statistic. 60% of Americans say they regularly attend a Christian church. Again, that might be just Christmas and Easter. It might not be every Sunday. But still, that's a lot of people who say they regularly attend a Christian church. As Christians, we need to thank God for His blessings. Pray that God continues to, as the song says, shed His grace on us. We need to pray that the United States turns away from its idols and immorality. Once it began, becomes a devoutly Christian nation. A nation that, in the words of the 33rd Psalm, a nation whose God is the Lord. Call me naive, but I think that with God's help, we can do it. Right on. I'd like to share a story I found in my research on this for this sermon. During the dark days of the American Revolution, when the Continental Army had experienced many setbacks, and for a while, just for a second, just think of it, there was the British Empire, which right around that time, the sun never set on the British Empire. There were colonies everywhere. They had mastered the seas. You know, you couldn't sail a boat anywhere without the fear of encountering a British warship. They were so in control of the seas. It was the most powerful empire on earth. And here we had a bunch of ragtag colonists daring to declare independence. And not even all colonists agreed with it. I think the statistic I read was 60-40. Most colonists wanted independence, but 40%, give or take, did not want to leave England. And as soon as war broke out, there were a number of setbacks, a number of lost battles. And George Washington probably was thinking, what am I doing here? You know, this is looking really bad. So just think of it, the few colonies versus the huge British Empire must have been quite imposing, and especially after the first few battles where we just flat out lost. So anyway, a farmer who lived by nearby one of the battles approached General Washington's camp unheard. He was just curious as to what was going on. Suddenly, the farmer's ears caught an earnest voice raising in agonizing prayer. On coming closer, he saw it was the great general, George Washington himself, down on his knees in the snow, his cheeks wet with tears. This was George Washington. I've only thought of him as triumphant, you know, giving that famous speech on Wall Street, you know. But he was on his knees crying and praying a very fervent prayer. He was asking God for assistance and guidance. The farmer quietly crept back away and returned home. He returned home to his family and he said, "It's going to be all right. We're going to win." "What makes you think so?" his wife asked. "Well," said the farmer, "I heard General George Washington pray out in the woods today. Such a fervent prayer I have never heard. And God will surely hear and answer that kind of praying." And of course, as we all know, Washington and his troops, with God's help, went on to win the war for independence against all odds. Yes. Freezing and all sorts of problems. But they won. These are the types of fervent prayers each of us needs to be praying for the continued godly blessings of the United States. So this July 4th, let's make it more than just about fireworks and food, as tempting as that might be. Take the time to think to yourself of all the many blessings you and our country have, and get down on your knees and give God thanks and give Him praise and glory for the many blessings He has given our country. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful country, the United States of America, that You have given to us, along with all of its liberties and freedoms, its wealth and high standard of living. This country that You have given us is so wealthy that the poor in this country are considered rich by the world standards. We ask that You continue to bless our country, that our country turn away from its sin and immorality that is becoming so common. We ask that Americans turn away from their idols and fix their eyes upon the cross of Jesus Christ and worship him, as was so common only a few years ago. We also ask that in the words of the 33rd Psalm, that we resume being a nation whose God is the Lord. Bless our celebrations this July 4th, keep them safe, and remind us that all the freedoms and wealth that we celebrate today came from you. We also thank you for the ultimate freedom that you have given us, the freedom from sin because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It was this sacrifice that paid for all of my sins and the sins of every Christian and earned us a place in heaven for all of eternity. If there are any in this room who do not fully believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, please open their hearts and minds to the truth of Jesus Christ's redeeming sacrifice for us. We also pray that you bless our friends here at the Nursing Center. Keep them healthy and strong. Bless and give guidance to the doctors and nurses who work with them. Finally, we hold up to you those family members we all have who are not saved. We ask that you bring them close to you as Christians so that they may consider you, as do we, their Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.